This is Fresh Air. I'm David Bianculli, TV critic for the New York Daily News, sitting in for Terry Gross.
Baldwin?
Yeah.
I think I'm going to put in my papers.
Are you serious?
I think it's time.
That's one of many heartfelt goodbyes we've heard on NYPD Blue as the 12-year-old ABC police drama comes to an end. Next Tuesday, ABC presents the finale of the show that pushed the envelope for broadcast TV dramas. On today's Fresh Air, we'll hear from some of the talent in front of and behind the cameras at NYPD Blue. We'll visit with Dennis Franz, who, as Andy Sipowicz, was the only cast member to star in the entire run of the show. James McDaniel, who played Andy's first boss. And real-life detective Bill Clark, a creative consultant and executive producer on the series. And we'll begin today's show by talking with the co-creator of NYPD Blue, David Milch. Milch and his collaborator Stephen Bochco, who already had shaken up the cop show genre with the gritty Hill Street Blues, planned NYPD Blue as a way to make the adult TV drama even more adult, by pushing the acceptable standards on language, violence, even nudity. When it launched, some ABC affiliates refused to air it. But when the show became an instant hit, the complaints stopped, and NYPD Blue began its long, successful, influential run. Terry spoke with David Milch last year, just after the launch of his latest controversial series, the HBO Western Deadwood. She asked him about the early days of NYPD Blue and how it was received when it began.
NYPD Blue almost didn't go on the air. It was delayed for over a year. The network refused to let it go forward. And once the network committed, more than one-third of the ABC affiliates refused to air the program. So I am quite familiar with the imposition of other people's ideas of what it was proper to portray. I had to, you know, that was the subject of long negotiation between Stephen Bochco and the ABC censors about how many obscenities could be used, in what combination, what the, those were negotiations from which I was excluded early on because my participation tended not to be constructive. You know, I kind of respond apocalyptically to that kind of stuff, and so I was disinvited from the conversations.
I want to get back to something we were talking about before, which is language. You know, and there were restrictions on the language you could use on Hill Street and NYPD Blue. I'm sure you assumed that these characters would be using a lot more profanity and obscenity if they weren't restricted. So how do you get around that? What kind of language could you give them that implies that they be using saltier language if allowed, but this will take the place of it?
Yeah. I always found that stuff a little silly because I can make up words which are much more obscene because words derive their meaning from the context in which they're used. And so I remember the censors wouldn't let... I think in NYPD Blue, the first year or something, Sipowicz was doing an interrogation, and he was confronting a witness with the fact that the witness could not have been where he said he was, or he was a suspect. And he says, "So you're saying on Christmas Eve that you spent Christmas Eve rubbing up and down against Doris Aiello or something like that?" And they said, "No, you can't say rubbing up and down." So I wrote, you say you spent Christmas Eve in close proximity to Doris Aiello's gunya. Now, there is no such word.
Right.
And yet, because of the context, it is a much more vivid image. And that's the point. What's crucial is that they portray the sensibility and, to a large extent, the fears of the character. In the instance of Cops, the inability to use obscenity was not so crucial because the culture of Cops can be portrayed. The obscenity is not of the essence of the Cops character. It's simply a way of releasing a certain amount of tension. Mm-hmm. Now, racial epithets are a different thing. For me, the ability to use racial epithets was crucial in NYPD Blue because so much of the cop's experience has to do with racism, either the racism that afflicts him or the racism of that's institutional. And so I felt deeply a need to be able to use racial epithets where I felt no need it whatsoever to use obscenity because it was not of the essence of the character's experience.
And what were you up against in terms of using racial epithets?
They said, don't use them. Mm-hmm. And I said, well, we're going to use them. and as the ratings went up and the affiliates, you know, we get back to the old subject of commerce. One third of the ABC affiliates refused to run the show. Well, after the show was on the air for a couple of weeks, and it was clear that it was getting good ratings and that people had come to experience beyond whatever titillation they thought they were going to find, something that they wanted to come back to on a weekly basis having to do with the rendering of a particular world, then the affiliates began to pick it up. And as the network started to make money, they began to take a little bit more dialectical view of what our ambitions were, Stevens and mine, and to see virtue where before they had seen only vice. And finally, with the proper amount of piety and fanfare, you know, they began to allow us to use certain locutions about race that they had forbidden hitherto.
Does this include, I'll go with, the N-word?
Yes, yeah, specifically the N-word, and specifically the fact that Sipowicz, as a racist, would use that word. And it was of the essence of that character's woundedness and the distortion of perspective that had come from his early experiences that he be able to use that word, and that the character who was his partner could then have the opportunity to say, I can't work with you.
So where did
if you're going to speak that way.
Where did the objections come from once you started using the word?
From the bosses at the network.
What about from viewers? Did you get any objections from that?
I don't read that stuff.
Right, because you don't want to be affected by it.
Yeah, I mean, the network will say, well, you can't can't put it on the air. Mm-hmm. But we finally found a way around that as time went on. We just didn't let them have the scripts until after the show was shot.
Was that effective?
Well, yeah, it's effective if you're making them money.
I got to know, how do you make up a word like gunya?
You know, it's I don't know. That's my racket.
So, I mean, what are some of the things you think about when you have to make up like a phony expletive or body part or, you know?
Thinking is invariably the enemy of action. And I don't think, I mean, I don't outline my shows. I don't, I just sort of try and let it happen.
Right.
And
okay.
So I improvise that stuff on the spur of the moment.
David Milch, co-creator of NYPD Blue, speaking with Terry Gross last year. His new series, Deadwood, begins its second season a week from Sunday.